Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
Hi, my name is Leanne Jeffries. I'm a former Ford model out of New York City, and I'm also a bipolar. I've been bipolar most all of my life, and I was able, with God's help, to live out my dreams and accomplish an unbelievable goal, one that most people considered not even realistic. When I do these blogs, I want people with mental afflictions, or anyone for that matter, to understand that if you have complications in your life or obstacles, that you can overcome them. So if when you follow my blogs, you'll see exciting things. You'll see things that are tremendously related to mental illness. You'll see symptoms I have. You'll understand everything that I faced. I want you to live with me as I discuss these things and as you follow my story.
Leanne Jeffries has been living with a psychotic form of bipolar disorder since being diagnosed in her early 20s. Living in Birmingham, Alabama, she was treated by a very prominent psychiatrist. He took only the most challenging and complex patients. Leanne was hospitalized, had electric shock therapy, powerful cocktails of antipsychotic drugs, antidepressants, and lithium in an attempt to control her symptoms. With little or no progress made, her prognosis was grim. The doctor told her husband things did not look good and that she may need to be institutionalized. After a move to North Carolina, her family was trying to start over, but Leanne was nowhere close to being well. She had always dreamed of being a Ford model, but with such a severe mental illness, was it even a remote possibility? It was. She signed a contract with Ford, and away she went, still bipolar. Leanne remained with Ford for 16 years. Her bipolar disorder continues to be a very hard illness to live with, but she continues to press on and share her amazing journey of faith. Leanne, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you so much.
You were diagnosed with severe bipolar illness in your 20s. Is that when your symptoms started?
By that time they had kicked in really hard and heavy, and they were very intense. They started actually, when I look back on it, I basically had them all my life.
And how did it start? What did you experience?
Terrible behavior. I mean, I guess the worst, most annoying thing were the voices.
And what did the voices say?
They were so loud and distinct in my head, just like you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a harsh tone to them. And if I was in the kitchen, and you keep a set of knives on your cabinet, and I had small babies then, and they would tell me to pick up that knife and stab somebody.
Mm.
That's what those voices would say. And I would call Dr. Hurley, my doctor. Well, first of all, my husband had to get a very good psychiatrist. He was renowned.
Mm.
I mean, you know, he was the president of the Psychiatric Association in the Southeast. His name was Dr. Charles Hurley. He only took cases like me, bad, challenging cases.
Mm-hmm.
He took me to death the minute he met me, and I went from Dr. Hurley's office to a locked, secured psychiatric unit. And I was immediately put on electroshock therapy.
Mm.
I mean, they didn't give it any playroom. He didn't wait around because he thought I was 50% schizophrenic. I'm sure now because of the voices.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% manic depressive. totally, totally sick. Couldn't be out in the public and couldn't be, I had to be in an inpatient treatment facility. And I was also treated with a cocktail of extremely powerful mind-altering drugs.
And how did that affect you? I mean, were you like in a catatonic state from all that?
Oh, yeah, especially shock treatments. Because they leave you real groggy. And they'll stay with me. I hope I don't get weepy during this conversation.
That's totally okay.
They'll stay with me during the rest of my life because I remember, okay, here I go. I remember the wheels on the shock cart. You know, they were real squeaky, you know, and they needed oil. And the breakfast cart would go by at the hospital smooth, and so would the med cart. But I knew when that shock cart was coming. And when it came in my room, I'd cry the minute I saw him. I would start crying. And he always wore a long coat, long white coat. And he'd say, "Now, Sister Jeffries," and he'd hold my hand. But I would beg him because I was so scared of him.
Yeah.
And I was so sick, I was afraid I wasn't going to wake up. I was paranoid. I thought he was trying to kill me.
Really?
You know, so he put that needle in my arm, and I would just go to sleep. He woke up about 15 minutes later, very groggy, with no memory. But the whole idea was to try and get these voices gone.
Was it successful?
Well, not really. I mean, see, I was real, there's no real cure for a sick mind, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
But it did ease some of the symptoms. Now, the antipsychotic drugs, they were very strong. Thorazine and Stelazine were my two main big ones. And, of course, I had every antidepressant known to mankind. And then all sorts of drugs for OCD. And that was what drove me over the edge, my OCD.
Can you tell us about that?
I would almost like take a biscuit cutter to get my flesh started. Because I knew there were tumors underneath there.
Hmm.
And I had to get them out. Mm. And by the time Kenneth came home, if I had blood on my clothes or something, he would just go, "Oh, my gosh," and call Dr. Hurley. And usually I would go right. He'd call to get a bed for me, and I would be right back over there. I mean, sometimes I went home a week before I was back at Baptist Medical Center. It was a nice psych ward, but no matter how you put it, it was a psych ward.
Sure.
Everything was taken away from me.
It must have been horrifying for you.
But I was so sick at that time, you know, and these voices were just killing me. And I was depressed and I was manic. And this went on for a long, long time, several years, long, long time. So finally he just, you know, told Kenneth we may have to do an institutionalization a very grim prognosis.
Mm.
I'm not right today. I mean, but I got so much better, though. God really laid his hand on me. I thank God at that point. I was so, so sick. Like I say, I slept with my head in the oven because I was afraid the oven would puncture under the night and burn my children up. I had these compulsive disorders. I thought my mother-in-law was trying to kill me. Well, she always said nasty things to me that my husband didn't deserve a sick girl, and we didn't know what they were getting with their sins. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into. So I decided I was going to, you know, commit suicide. And I did take a great big old bottle of pills and put them in my hand. There were 32 of them, and I'll never forget that.
Mm.
And I was shaking like a leaf and didn't know really what to do. My children were looking right at me, and I couldn't stand the thoughts of telling them bye. So I called my doctor's office, and he sent an ambulance that day.
How did all this affect your marriage and the family?
Oh, wow. For some people, you know, the divorce rate, I'm so glad you asked that because that's a clinical, you know, study question. You know what I'm saying? It's been confirmed, you know, through statistics. It's the divorce rate for bipolars, like myself, not people that just get the blues.
You're right.
But bipolars is a very, very high rate. Well over 50%, maybe even 75% by now. But my husband, he never loved me.
Oh, God bless him.
And he comes to me at the hospital day after day after day, you know. And it was just a hard, hard life. It was the craziest thing. God just has a way of working. I went to the mall one day, and a fashion coordinator saw me. And she said, you need to be a model. Well, before all the bipolar started, I was in pageants. And I was a model in Birmingham. And a good Southern girl goes to charm school.
Right.
And I did that. And walked with a book on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. But this woman really meant business. And before I realized it, I was modeling all over the Carolinas with an agency called Carolina Talent.
Wow.
Going here, there, and yonder.
And how were you functioning with the bipolar?
Well, it was the craziest thing. Now, remember bipolars. They have a real strong sense of, I can do this. You know, I did everything but wear a cape with a big B on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have your manic stage where you're just all over the map.
When you're manic,
yeah.
Absolutely, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do
anything.
It doesn't take much to talk me into stuff.
Yeah, but you had the voices still at this point? I mean, did you still have the voices and all the OCD stuff going on, or was that kind of a baby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I was so doggone excited to be out of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and somebody thinking I had to look.
Mm-hmm.
I had the look of a model. So, oh, boy, this was, you know, I always have said God said enough pain. He mm-hmm. really honestly did. He made me bipolar. There's no two ways about it. I'm as bipolar as the day is long as we're talking. But enough was enough for God, if I think, at that point in time. And I start hanging around and doing everything in the Southeast but a billboard. And my agent said, let's go to New York. And you don't have to tell me that but one time.
Wow.
And I packed my bags. We sent pictures to Ford Modeling Agency. They flew me up there on a Monday. They said, if you look this good, send her on. But I got on a plane, and I went to New York and found my way to the Ford Modeling Agency. Walked through there like I owned the place, honey. They said I was the most powerful-looking woman they had seen in years.
Really?
Well, I was a bipolar, for crying out loud. So I went in there, went to lunch with them, had a 9-page contract, did not need an airplane to get home, but I took it anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
I could have flown on my own.
And you were 42 years old?
42 years old. Stayed with them 16 years. Went to Scotland. Went to England. Went to Turkey. Went to sailed the Mediterranean Sea shooting with them. Did all the domestic work you can think of and then some. Was a big girl up there in New York City. Went to all these client dinners. Made everybody laugh their heads off. Now, that only lasted, let's see, I was with Ford for 16 years. But I wasn't opening like I am now. I was like a gay coming out of a closet.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my closet, and I was about to come out and chip my apple cart
mm-hmm.
because I knew the way people felt about mental illness because I had kind of tested the waters a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't like the way those waves were flowing. So I told him, I just can't let anybody know about me, you know. And he said, well, how long do you think this facade can go on, you know? Well, it did start breaking down. Unfortunately, I was in the United Kingdom when it did.
What happened?
And I got some bad film, which I never do. And I couldn't sleep. I mean, things were not going well.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my agent, you know, I had to go home for a while. You know, I knew what was going on. I mean, I knew what was going on. I came back home. Now, that doesn't mean I quit modeling for them. I modeled for them for 3 or 4 more years after that, but I just could never go up there. I was living in New York then.
Mm.
You know, I was up there and flying by the seat of my britches. It couldn't have been a better city for a bipolar.
Really?
All that shopping.
Yeah.
All that activity. All that me.
Were you a Christian then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But when I had all those OCDs, I was taken out of church, and that broke my heart for about 6 months because I was those voices that I was having, you know, mm-hmm. I never quit having them. They were telling me that I was not going to go to heaven, that I was blaspheming.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had crazy stuff. Weird stuff. People like me do.
What kind of pressures did you experience in the modeling world? I mean, you're not a, you know, 15, 16-year-old here. You're 42. What was that like for you?
Oh, my word, Rita. Think about it. I had had shock therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I spent my young adult life in psychiatric wards.
Right, and here you are.
Nobody knew that.
Right.
And then there I am in Bobby Brown's little book for women over 50. And I tell you who loved me. That was Eileen Ford.
Mm.
And I adored that woman. I clicked with the woman. I mean, but it was just so different to go to a go-see. You know, that's what we did. And I was behind Carol Ault or,
really?
You know, what were some of the famous models I was with then? And the supermodel, Janice Dickinson, was always hanging around. She was everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was weird, but I was one of them, you know. And there again, that bipolar, you know, it just led me to believe I was fine. I mean, that if they could do it, well, I sure could do it.
Were you pressured to be thin? Or were you already thin?
No, because my bipolar kept me thin.
Okay.
I never smoked a cigarette in my life. But I was very conscious. I'm a good girl. I always strive to be a good girl. I always strive to be. I had a rough childhood. I was adopted in a foster home. But I always wanted to be a good girl for somebody.
That's hard being in New York in the fashion industry. What messages do you think women were getting from the fashion world when you modeled? And how's that changed today, do you think?
You know, perfect case in point. I stayed in a model's apartment. One night I decided to come home and make spaghetti, and somebody had done, you know, chopped up some parsley, and I went ahead and got the ingredients. I thought, well, I'll surprise everybody and have a big old pot of their southern mother, you know. And I had made the biggest pot of spaghetti sauce laced with marijuana.
Oh, my gosh.
And had no clue, of what I was doing. There was a lot of drugs.
What would you tell a young woman today who would want to pursue a modeling career? What are the pitfalls?
Well, the pitfalls would be, you know, yourself. If you allowed yourself to conform to negative things that are out there, and by that I mean, well, quite honestly, drugs, you know, too much sex, stuff that's going on out there. I mean, it just is, Rita, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, you had to be in the middle of all of that mess. I mean, these people.
I mean, it was just a mess for me.
How did you avoid that?
Well, the drugs. See, I've never even smoked a cigarette in my life, and I'm not a big drinker. And I, Lord knows, I take enough medicine to kill a horse. So I don't.
Been there, done that.
None of that appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see what I mean? And I have to be very careful with my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I do. So I wouldn't do anything to alter it any worse than it already is.
Yeah, so you sort of drew that boundary for yourself and
I have a line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I just won't cross it.
Were you pressured to do that stuff? Or were people pretty respectful?
Yeah, of course I was.
Mm-hmm.
Any woman, if you're 42, if you're 50, and you're a Ford model, you're going to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're tall, we wear those boots with those, like I say, tight jeans, short sweaters, big, you know, the accessories, the natural hair, the big smiles, and the white portfolio with the big Ford across it. And if you have that, you're going to look a certain way regardless of your age. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from temptations or offers. Trust me on this one. But things like that, like I say, as sick as I've always been, I've always known God loved me. I mean, at my very sickest, I knew God loved me. And I think that love I had for Him not only pulled me to a point of being functional, you know, but brought me some joy through some joy in the equation, meaning the modeling, because I've never had more fun in all my life.
Yeah, well, it probably grounded you, too. I mean, definitely.
Oh, absolutely, it grounded me, but it was more fun Can you imagine being up there in all those stores, Rita?
No. Well, how about just your whole idea of everybody being so focused on how you look? Is that a problem? I mean,
how I look?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're around all these beautiful people. You're beautiful. Everybody's paying attention to you. How do you?
Oh, yeah, but see, I don't like that. I don't like people. I mean, I like when I was on in front of the camera, and when I had my hair and makeup artist, I wanted them to concentrate on me because I had to go up. I had to make some money that day, and I had a client to please, you know, and I wanted to get the best shot possible for that client. But as far as those haughty-taughty, for some reason, those models that would hand out comp cards at restaurants, you know, where we go, they'd hand out their blooming comp card. No, ma'am, that turns me off like I don't know what. I don't do that stuff. I know where my blessings come from.
Mm-hmm.
And if God blessed me the way I needed to look to be for a model, you know, I'm really one of those. Tim Tebow, to God be the glory. I don't go for the other men.
Well, what about plastic surgery and all that stuff? I mean, that's...
Never had it.
And
never,
how do you feel about all that?
It. Just smile like a, you know, hog in a mud puddle.
So you're comfortable with aging?
Well, right now, what else can I do? But I'm on disability right now. And right now, Reed, I remember, I modeled for over 30-something years. I've been in every magazine. I've been in, you name it. I'm on the 100 most success stories for the AMTC. On the, you know, you can Google that. Mm-hmm. Your producer, they got a great selection of photographs there, by the way. But you can, you know, I've been here and I've been there, done that, and every aspect of life. But now it's time to turn my focus on mental illness. And help other people understand they can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I'm working on getting a book bought, Rita Schulte. I need my book bought.
Mm-hmm.
I need...
And what's the message in the book, Leanne? What do you want people to know?
The message in the book is the sickness. It's the shock. I mean, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's about
your life.
Mental illness,
mm-hmm.
But it's also about the Ford,
mm-hmm.
And it's about God. Oh, mercy. It's about God. And it's about all the stuff he's allowed me to do.
And so what obstacles do you still face today with this illness, Leanne?
Oh, this illness is a bear. I hate it. Like, I can't go out many places. Because if I'm having a bad, that's why the internet, Facebook's so good for me. If I go out, Rita, and I'm not having a good day, I still can get in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not proud of that. I don't like that, but I'll do it. If I'm pushed, you know, if my buttons are pushed that day, oh, hang on, buckle your seatbelt. and that's what happened, you know, a few months ago to one of my dear friends downtown. I mean, I just went completely off my chain. Well, she deserved it. She had it coming, and she knew she did. But, I mean, I gave her... I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't think this little town's ever seen the likes of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to be careful for other people's sake, not mine. You know, I'll come out all right, but Lord knows what I'm doing to the person in front of me. So I just kind of, you know, I know the days that I have, that my restrictions are the grave, you know, or that I'm tempted to spend too much money because I'm on disability.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I know what I can do and what I can't do. I took medicine to calm me down before I got... I took all my medicine before you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
But you see how wound up I am? It didn't work.
Yeah. Do you still hear the voices?
Yes,
okay.
I hear the voices.
Is that every day?
My doctor said... He told me... I've got a great doctor here in Salisbury. And when he put me back on everything, you know, I came home from New York and I was a wreck. I counted the ceiling tiles in his office all over the place. He found me running from examining room to examining room, counting ceiling tiles. He had to take me to my room, put me in it, lock the door, and say, don't you go anywhere till I get back. You know, I knew that meant, but that's when the disease was really popping again. And then I had melanoma 2 years later. You know, my biggest fear, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There it is, a tumor in my back. And they got that out. It was clean.
Praise God.
But it enhanced all this other stuff again.
Sure, the fears, the voices,
so I don't
the
do OCD. Breast checks. My husband does them. I go for the mammograms, but I'm always nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always got it somewhere stuck in the back of my head. Sometimes I look at knives if I'm too close to somebody, and I'll throw a knife in the sink and take off running.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, Kenneth knows exactly what's happened.
Wow.
That my mind is, you know.
Well, your story is so inspiring for someone who, again, has gone through such a horrific mental illness, and to do and accomplish what you've accomplished. I'm so excited for your book to come out and to just be an encouragement to other people that struggle.
I'm so sorry we had 25 minutes, but you know, bipolar me, I couldn't wait till the first of the year to talk to Miss Rita.
I'm so glad it worked out. How can people get a hold of you, Leanne, if they want to contact you?
Well, Facebook.
Facebook.
You know, my Facebook. Is that the way you usually do it? Do you give out cell phone numbers on your?
No, but I, you know, usually if somebody has a website, will you have a website up with?
Well, I have, you know, my page.
Okay.
You know, it's just going great.
Okay, so people can just kind of.
I love my page.
Yeah, just and
it's
your name.
Leanne Jeffries, Public Figure. And then I have a blog called The Bipolar Experience.
Oh, awesome. Okay, is that on the page too?
No, that's from WordPress.
Okay.
That's in WordPress. But my book is being shopped out now with an agent in Charlotte, in Orlando. Anytime you want to talk to a good bipolar.
We'll have you back.
Well, you promised it because you were supposed to give me an hour.
Well, and when your book comes out, we'll definitely have you back.
Okay.
And thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story with us today.
God bless you. You do such good stuff. When will this be on the air, and how can I hear it?
I'll let you know as soon as my producer has it done.
Thank you, Sugar.
Okay.
You have a great day.
God bless you, Leanne. Bye-bye.
Bye, hon.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.